Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hi.
We're back.
We're back for another Wind Down Monday. Halloween was so much fun.
It was a blast.
It's my favorite holiday.
So, like, for real, your favorite holiday?
It's one of, it's in the top three, and it might be number one.
What did you dress up as?
A witch. I'm always a witch. It's always the one day I can be, you know.
Yourself?
Myself.
But if it's your favorite, why don't you like spice it up and do something different? Like, why are you the same thing if it's your favorite holiday?
Because that's my thing.
Okay.
Rocco did ask. He said, can you please be something different this year?
Aww.
You're always a witch and every other parent is something different. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm
he
a
said,
witch.
This is my day, Rocco.
Like, this I'm is who I am. Accept it. This is the one day a year I get to come out of Hocus Pocus and be a witch.
And be a witch.
By the way, that movie's so good. We watched it.
Do you have any nostalgic movies you watch?
Practical Magic is my very favorite.
Is that Sandra Bullock?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite. You have to watch it tonight.
Tonight?
You need to watch it.
Tonight.
No, it's so good. We are full on Christmas before Thanksgiving.
Are you on Hallmark Channel all night long?
Well,
every day, all night?
So what we're doing, yes and no, but what we're doing is, because the baby's coming fast and furious.
Yes.
I want the entire house set up for Christmas.
I love that.
Now. Yeah. So we're setting up the house this weekend for Christmas.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's going to be a Thanksgiving Christmas, but it's
that's
all good.
That's magical.
Because I'll probably be in the hospital either before Thanksgiving or after. I don't know. We don't know yet.
Wait,
probably
that's after. In like Thanksgiving is
this month.
Well, closer than that. It's like 2 weeks away.
I know. It's crazy.
That just made me really nervous.
I know.
Are we doing this podcast from the hospital?
Well, that's what I had to figure out because we have a C-section scheduled, but I have a feeling it's going to be the week before. So it's going to be most likely before Thanksgiving.
That's so nice though. Then you can like relax at Thanksgiving.
I know, but there's a chance that it might not work. What he's like wanting to do to help me to get into labor.
Right.
So, and then if not, then it would be a couple days after Thanksgiving. So I don't know. So I'm like, how do we plan a live podcast when we don't know if and when, where, what, and my water's going to break.
We just have to go with the flow.
Yeah.
Do I just turn my voice memo on?
Maybe you should have thought of all this stuff before you told us weekly we were doing a live podcast from your delivery room.
Name, simply dad.
That's we are doing we it then. It's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're locked in now.
Well, we'll just have to do a voice memo in case we can't get there with the setup.
We'll do it.
Okay.
I live right down the street from that place.
Okay. So we were just on Access Live today talking about relationships.
Yeah. No one told me, so I didn't get to watch it.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You're about to do what I do.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry. It was on and we talked about relationships. And Michael, so we had Leslie Gustafson on the show, 2 months ago?
She's great.
Yeah. Wow.
She's awesome. She does the intimacy box and we just loved her so much. And Access was doing this fall back in love kind of.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went on the show, but Michael... He was kind of thrown off for a minute.
Okay. Can you guys give us a recap a little bit for people that didn't see it of what you guys talked about?
Yeah, the plan was, the producer was telling us that we're going to go on. They're like, it's going to be really easy for you, you know, for you and Jana. You guys are just going to kind of sit there, answer some questions. We're going to kind of go off Leslie and ask her some topics and then go to you guys and how you're doing that. And it just turned into
Mike, Jana, Leslie, Mike, Jana.
So Mike, you cheated on Jana. Tell us about this. And I was just like, so Mike, this and that. It's like, how are you guys dealing with this? I was like, okay, let's do it.
But I tell you what, man, he didn't flinch. He didn't stutter. He went, when I got done, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, honey.
Cool as a cucumber.
He did so good. He was so confident. And yeah, there were some questions that they asked about. I mean, you know, you cheated on Jana when she was pregnant with the last child. How'd you get through that? And I was just like, damn.
Ouch. Did it make you feel uncomfortable?
With smiles on their faces.
I know. They said, But I mean, that's their job to bring up
absolutely.
The uncomfortable questions.
But did it make you feel uncomfortable?
It did for it made me uncomfortable for him because I don't think he was prepared for them to. And but right. I've been in that world before. You know, this is you know we're coming out together as you know and doing our speaking stuff and
right.
This is the kind of one of our first things that we did together. So I almost warned him too, like, hey, they're gonna probably ask things that we said that not to ask, but they're gonna do it anyways because that's what they do. That's their job.
It's their
Which kind of comes with the territory, you know. And again, right. I'm still learning this whole entertainment world and these shows and podcasts and all that stuff. So Jan has kind of coached me up enough to prepare for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like Jana said, she was uncomfortable until I reacted the way I did. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think once she realized I could handle it, she's like, okay.
She could breathe.
Like, oh, God. Okay. He's not going to punch anybody right now.
No way.
Yeah. But I'm really excited because Leslie, obviously, we just had the segment with her, but she's going to mm-hmm. be on air with us. So let's go bring her in.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Can I also mention that she's a Kappa?
I can't.
Just going to leave that there. Okay.
Before she comes in, though.
Tell a story.
Before she comes in, Michael, what's for dinner, babe?
Ooh.
Well, we're starting to stack up on our HelloFresh boxes. You know that, right?
I know. I noticed that.
Usually it's you getting boxes at the door, but this time it's me.
I know.
Getting all those HelloFreshes. Because I don't want to be running out to the store when the baby's here and daddy's got to cook for the family. And
you mean like last night when I said, I'm craving melons.
At 10 o'clock at night?
Yeah. At 10 o'clock at night.
Did you go?
He did.
I did. Because
I only have a few more weeks left of him being able to do that.
Yeah.
And I haven't had you do that yet.
No, you really haven't.
No. So that was my one, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about the HelloFresh because once the baby comes, I mean, we're going to be
relying on it.
Yeah. Because it takes care of our grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. There's going to be no wasted stuff.
No wasted ingredients. It's mm-hmm. pre-measured. It's everything's right there for you. It doesn't take longer than 40 minutes. That's between prep time and cook time. It's been great for us. You know, the recipes are always fantastic. So, yeah. So, HelloFresh has been great. Meal delivery kit brings everything to your door. The ingredients, the plans, everything that you need. The time it takes, the preparation in very good detail. Has pictures to go along with it for special learners like myself and Jana.
Well, no. It says it takes 30 minutes to cook. It takes Michael 30 minutes to cook. It takes me about an hour to cook because I'm still like, peel the lime. Like, I'm not the best cook in the world.
Honey, how much is 5 ounces?
I'm like, Alexa, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes. Visit HelloFresh.com/Kramer60 and enter Kramer60. Again, that's $60 off. That's $20 off your first three boxes. Visit HelloFresh.com/Kramer60 and enter
Kramer60.
Boom. Dinner prepared. Okay, I'm so excited. Leslie's in the studio.
Hey! Leslie and Doug are in the studio.
Yes, her lovely husband is also
on,
in the room.
Oh, I love this.
So, Leslie, I was just kind of catching them up and letting them know that we did Access Live this morning.
We did.
It was so fun. You flew in from Colorado.
Flew in from Colorado last night and got very little sleep because of all the excitement of it all. And
right?
then got in there and it was kind of short and sweet, wasn't it? But it was, you guys did a beautiful job.
Well, thank you. But it was obviously awesome having you there too. And
thank you.
You and Michael were talking in the room before. Jen, just to catch you up. She has the intimacy box.
Right.
Do you want to explain that really fast?
Can you please?
Yeah. Yes. I created this. It's a lifestyle and experience box because a lot of couples don't get out as much as I think they should.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm bringing the date to them. But because I'm a sex therapist, I've also thrown in a little sexuality as well. So
fun.
There's
but
products.
Not in an uncomfortable way.
No. And right. try to keep it really classy and really elegant because I know everybody is, you know, on a spectrum of where their comfort level
of course.
Is. So I'm just easing people in. And it has products to enhance the experience, and hopefully people will just take that time that they need to enhance and enrich their relationship when it's so hard in this busy age. So
yeah. What's in the first box?
The first box has three experiences, and there's a fondue pot in there, and there's a throw, and there's a specially designed candle, and there's some massage oil.
Sounds sexy.
And then I kind of coach them through some exercises to kind of enhance their marriage or relationship for couples, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
I love it. And, you know, Leslie and I were talking backstage at Access.
And I was like, guys, stop talking.
We won't have a problem talking. We'll be okay.
Right, we'll be all right. But a good thing, a great thing that I love about the intimacy box that Leslie and I were talking about is she has a fun spin on it. And for me, who's someone who struggles from intimacy, whenever I feel pressured, that's when my anxiety and everything kind of creeps in when I feel like I have to perform or I have to plead or whatever it may be, expectations and all that stuff. And that's, you know, what Leslie was explaining to me, her philosophy about just keeping it light, keeping it fun, no pressure, no anything there. It doesn't have to be a certain end result. And so is it what through that you're, you know, developing this box kind of guided you into that direction to make sure you keep it light and fun?
Well, just me as a person, I have a core value. If it's not fun, why are we doing it? So it's important for couples to have pleasure and fun. And what tends to happen over time is we get really boring and we get into the responsibilities of life and we forget to have that lightness and playfulness and flirtation. I mean, the bedroom really is kind of an adult playground. And if you have that kind of attitude about it, that it's for exploration and connecting, free of outcome, free of expectations and fear or whatever, then it changes the way it feels. Because when you enter into the bedroom, you don't want it to be anything but just something you look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And when anxiety kicks in, that's the opposite of the sexual response. So our bodies don't even work if we're anxious.
Absolutely.
So it's designed to just make it fun and light and exploratory.
Mm-hmm. But how do we, you know, for him, because he does struggle with the intimacy part and wanting to or the fear of performing. So how does he kind of stay out of his head in those moments?
Mm-hmm. Something I tell couples all the time is to take away the outcome. And you're a former athlete. This may be even harder.
Right.
And the idea is that it's not all about the touchdown, that it's still great if you're in the connecting process of it all, but you're not reaching for a goal. And sometimes I tell couples, just take sex off the table entirely and go in there to connect and explore and touch.
But what if I want more, though? Then I'm being let down. Then
he knows
I'm let down. And then we have an argument. And I'm like, God, I'm frustrated. I'm sexually frustrated. And
yes.
And then he gets even more pressure of performance.
Yes. Because whenever we have a time in the bedroom that has anything negative in it, it pulls us away from wanting to go back in again.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so being really careful with making sure it's positive, even if you are disappointed or you do have hurt feelings, how to keep loving each other through that so that you don't think of the experience the next time as like, that was a bummer. I can't go back in there. I don't want to repeat that, because nobody wants to repeat something that was negative or didn't feel good. And so what tends to happen when you take the outcome off is that the pressure's down and then you start to explore and let it go where it will, and you will relax and then your bodies will work.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just happens because you're not trying to make it happen, because that's the opposite of what our bodies need to do. When we try, it shuts everything down.
Yeah.
But when we show up and we're just enjoying and in the process and experience without fear or like, I have to get to there or I have to do this, then it's kind of magic. Our bodies start to work.
I have a scenario that I love your husband here, Doug, who's also been a therapist for many years. I was meeting with my therapist just a week or two ago, and we're actually doing some EMDR work around intimacy.
Nice.
And so I talked to him and I basically painted a scenario. I said, you know, he was like, what would it mean to you if you went in? Like, basically I was telling him, I was like, if I went home today, and I just told Jana, it's been a few days or a week since we've had sex or anything. And I went in, I said, honey, and I just addressed it head on. I said, honey, I know we haven't had sex in a week. I really want to connect, but right now I'm just not in a place, or I'm really tired, or I've been busy, or whatever it may be. My reason is to not be intimate tonight. And I told him, I was like, if she said, okay, honey, no worries. Like, I understand, like, all good, like, no pressure. By her saying that, it would mean more than I can even explain, because then I would feel safe in wanting to be independent. And I told my therapist, I said, you know what? If she did that, give me an hour, I'd probably want to be intimate. It's just such a weird thing in my head that why do I need that like pressure to be released? Like, it's so weird. I'm still trying to figure it out. And I wanted to share that with Jan. I hadn't yet, but it was such a interesting feeling. I got emotional actually talking to her about it. Like, if she would just say, and she's done that before, but I just, even in that moment, I was able to think, wow, if she did that in an hour, I'd probably want to be intimate.
Can I just speak on that before you say something?
Sure.
Yeah.
That would be like the greatest, because it has been a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And last night I kind of wanted to, but I knew we were both tired. If you would have said that to me, I would have immediately let down my guard, and then I would have you addressed it, so it's like it's so knowing that it's on your mind would have made me feel better. Wouldn't it have made me feel chosen by you just addressing it?
For sure.
Because with you not addressing it, it doesn't make me feel chosen.
Does that make sense? I totally get that, and I kind of feel like that.
Like, I'm like, I would have loved if you would have said
it's like
that.
It's like the elephant in the room with us sometimes, where it's like, I know she wants to. She's kind of waiting for me. She doesn't want to pressure me. Like going back and forth, but yet I'm scared at times to come forward and say that. Because I'm still nervous of her reaction, where maybe she doesn't take it well, and that just validates my fears.
Yes, and you're saying something really important about how we can do all this in a nonverbal arena. Like, I think she's in the mood. I think he might be, but I bet he's not. But if he's not, I'm going to be hurt. And to get that out in the open more and more, like it's just something. And it sounds like you do a lot of it already. But to know where you're at as a part of conversation, to let you know, just so you know, I'm kind of feeling it. Just letting you know, so that you have kind of a dialogue around each of your sexualities, so that you have a beat on each other. Mm-hmm. And so it keeps you knowing that you're both trying, that we're both, it's both in our minds and we both care about it.
So why does he need that to, like, kind of your question was, why do you feel like you need to let it out? Is that what you were trying to?
I think because then I feel alleviated from any expectations.
Uh-huh. Or stress.
And your response is so important, because we're all sensitive people, which is, you know, there's always it's a vulnerable thing to reach out for anything that's personable, even more so probably when we're saying, I want you, or I'm feeling sexy for you. You've now reached down into a vulnerable spot, which means somebody's heart is basically in your hands at that point. Mm-hmm. And how you respond is everything. What I heard when he was saying, I heard he wants to know you love him. Either way.
Yeah.
So if you just go, whatever, babe, I'm good with either way, then he's just like, oh,
yeah,
I'm not going to lose the love. I'm not feeling abandoned. She's still with me, whether I pursue her or I don't.
Mm-hmm. The acknowledgement would have been is great, though. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Did I hit a cord? Just,
yeah. No, that.
Go ahead. It's okay.
No, it just, I mean, that's me in a nutshell. And that's why I got emotional with my therapist last week, is exactly what she said. It's like, whatever inside of me that created that feeling of not good enough or whatever, it's like knowing that you still love me, even if I don't give you what you need, is like a lot. So, yeah. Damn it, Leslie.
Well, thank you for sharing that, though, because that's the heart of it. But it's the heart of for all of us. And every one of us on some level has a I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From our own histories, our own wound, it's just tucked away somewhere. For some of it's a greater wound. Some of it's a really scabbed over wound. And so we don't get at it as easy. But it exists for all of us, because all of us at some point in our life had some sort of shaming in a relationship. And that's where the wound is. So it's always sort of ready to be flared. And so the gift of just loving somebody no matter what is a really healing balm to that, because the shame inside says, I'm not good enough.
Well, the problem is there's two people in that both are not feeling good enough.
Yeah,
he has his issues, and then I have my issues of, why don't you want to be with me? Why am I not good enough for you to be with? Why, you know, so that hits my core too, because I have, that's one of my biggest issues, is never feeling good enough in a relationship. So we're both hitting, it's just a different ones,
they're
know.
Just complete opposite, conflicting needs that unfortunately just go the opposite direction from each other.
And being able to put that out in the open is really is the challenge and the beauty, because that is true of every couple if they can go that deep with each other, that they're going to run into parts of the other that they're just like, I can't have you be close to me. I'm not worthy, or whatever. Or, you know, somebody flares in defensiveness. Again, we're looking at shame, or I'm not good enough. But to be able to notice those things and go, hey, okay, we're okay.
Right.
You know, I love you still.
I mean, I can say that I definitely, there's times when I get so frustrated, and I know that makes him more stressed or more, shelled off. It's just, after a while, I just get so frustrated that I just don't understand why I'm not chosen. So if I just, I think I've done better at being patient.
You have, for sure.
But I would have loved the gift of you to say, hey, acknowledgement of it. Because it takes the pressure off of me to not knowing if you just don't think I'm attractive now, or you don't want to be with me, or I'm not chosen, or I'm not good enough.
I totally get that.
Yeah, and when we talk about it, we don't have to fill in the blank with a negative against ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not chosen if he doesn't reach out. Maybe he's just in a bad mood. So that attribution of, hey, it's not even really about me. Mm-hmm. I'm still fabulous. He's just having a hard time. Mm-hmm. You know, so how we fill in that blank, if we lean into each other, we can find out, you know, what's really going on with you. So I don't have to personalize it and I don't have to hurt.
Mm-hmm. What if, to change gears a little bit, this is for you and for your husband, Doug. What if, you know, it's kind of the whole practice what you preach. What do you guys do? Like, what's your experience in y'all's relationship to maintain intimacy, maintain that connection?
You want that one, honey? He's like, oh, no, don't bring me a on that one.
I was just, I'm an observer here. Now I'm on target here. You know, I think that we do many things to help sustain intimacy and connection, and it has a gamut of experiences. But one of the things that I'm listening to even this conversation that we do is that we really prioritize our bond together. We look at ourselves as having a bond that things can fracture. If I don't feel good about myself, it can put a ding in the bond. If we're not reaching out to each other consistently, if we're not sharing space in a meaningful way. And I look at it as sort of a bond that we're trying to protect. We're always mindful of that. We're always mindful of treating each other special, of putting each other not necessarily first in the sense of codependency, but we're always trying to seek out the best of the other person. If there are fractures within your personality you both have just described, you're not responsible to heal each other, but you can influence one another. Mm-hmm. You can be sensitive to that. And the words you use to sustain the bridge, to say, hey, you know, I'm not just really in the mood tonight. And for us men, I'm telling you, it kind of sucks because we're expected to want sex all the time.
Right.
And it's never a moment we're not ready to have it. And we have this, that's our sex education, by the way, over the years, is right there. So it's amazing, you know, along comes pornography and all those things that sort of feed that. But hey, we have a capacity for intimacy. We may or may not want to, and we have to figure out how to have intimate sex and how that works so that we aren't in a performance-based model. But back to what we were saying there, I just think we have a no-criticism zone. We don't criticize each other ever. If we do, big red flags go up, and that's not okay. Mm-hmm. And then we just try to treat each other special and unique each day and enjoy each other's uniqueness. I love her individuality and her uniqueness, what she does, and how special she is in that. And that doesn't threaten me, and what I do doesn't threaten her. And we just kind of collaborate in that. But it's all about the bond. Anything we do or say, we don't want it to pull the bond apart. We want it to sustain it and strengthen it, even if it's a hurt feeling. Mm-hmm. A hurt feeling doesn't have to break the bond. It can be one more way of saying, hey, I'm hurt, but I'm not abandoning, I'm not leaving, I'm here, but I need to talk to you about something that's bothering me.
Love it.
Yeah, and so there's that level of awareness that we, of course, we're both marriage therapists, right? And so we run on maybe a different level because we're always in this and always thinking about it. But when you think of your marriage as this separate entity, I tell couples this a lot, that this marriage, the marriage that we long for, our dream marriage, if you will, we are working towards it, and it's separate from us. And so we look at the marriage and we're like, what does the marriage need? And how is the marriage doing? And how are we doing in it? And it's like, you want to preserve it and protect it and take care of it. So you're both in the mindset of, like, this is our mission together, our marriage, because it's the most important thing to us. So we're really sensitive to each other. We haven't always had the amazing sex life. I mean, we've had to work it out, too. We've been married 21 years. It used to be, you know, me trying to figure out, he was the higher desire. I was the lower desire. He was always feeling kind of neglected in our early days when we had a little one. And it's totally changed over time. And it does change over time because we change individually and our desire levels can change over time. But it's always been a work in progress. It continues to be a work in progress where we're keeping it out in the open and saying, you know, it's been a few days, or where are you at? Or, you know, we're getting cranky, you know, and what might that mean? Being able to put it into words. So we're continuing to lean in.
Is there anything, Jen, just from being recently divorced, is there anything like with all this that you'd notice that was lacking in that relationship, or something that you personally realized that you want to work on going into a next one? Or
I was married for over 16 years, and I think the communication had broken down, and there were intimacy issues, and I think moving forward, I have found my voice, so when things arise, I talk about them immediately, and that's very different from in the past. I would just sort of, push it down, be the good wife, keep going, mm-hmm. but I'm more aware of what triggers me, and mm-hmm. then I communicate it mm-hmm. in the most mindful way that I can. And it seems to help mm-hmm. with people that I'm involved with, or mm-hmm. if I'm in a relationship, it's, yeah, you know, it takes two people. And
yes.
the communication cannot stop, because mm-hmm. once it stops, the relationship stops.
Mm.
And I'm realizing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm at fault for just pushing feelings down and yeah. not communicating my needs or hurtful feelings or just anything.
And whoever taught us that as kids, I don't know, not in my history, right?
Right.
Who's like, here's how to do feelings and express them and be vulnerable. Like, what?
Exactly.
That's something we all have to learn.
Yes.
It's amazing how much just that alone, communication is a big topic, but how just that alone, like you're saying, Jen, is being proactive about your feelings as opposed to holding them in, delivering them in a negative way.
Right.
And getting them on the forefront as opposed to, I can handle this. Making up stories in your own head. Oh, it's probably because of this reason and this reason. Mm-hmm. Instead of just going to each other. And that's where Jana and I have started to excel, is being proactive about, hey, I'm feeling this way or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we can not break that bond as much and be mean or be spiteful in arguments.
God, could we be mean to each other?
Oh, we know each other's buttons.
You got that down?
Oh, yeah, we dug dirty.
I mean, just the points where it's just, sometimes I don't even know what to say. It was so mean back, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, so we've gotten right. to that point, but now,
and
through
that
the
didn't
last,
feel good.
No, it didn't. Through the last probably 8 to 12 months, we've been a lot more consistent about being ahead of it, mm-hmm. not, you know, not hurting each other like that. Not verbally hurting each other, because we want to respect each other and love each other, and we weren't doing that.
You know what hurts people? Most people do not realize that shampoo is often the root cause of all hair problems, okay? So let me just tell you, it overcleans your hair, stripping away your body's protective natural barrier. So I'm just saying, not only does communication, but you know, you need to be nice, but you need to stop with your shampoo.
Be nice to your hair.
Exactly. So imagine being able to wash, condition, detangle, and repair your hair using only one product. Well, New Wash cleans hair with a blend of essential oils that has no added detergents or synthetic compounds. So what I love about it is that you can take a 9-question quiz online to get the perfect pick for you out of one of the 3 formulas. Hmm. So I am using the New Wash now on my hair, and let me tell you guys, it's amazing. So after the quiz, I'm using the Lift, which is a raising roots powder for dry, for blow dry staying, and then Dressed Up, it's a lotion for safe blow drying, because now that I have my extensions in, I can, you know, damage the hair a little bit. So I want to make sure it's all good. So for all my ladies out there with long, luscious hair, for a limited time offer, get 10% off Hair Story's New Wash by visiting hairstory.com/Jana. And by using the promo code Jana. Let me tell you again, that's for a limited time offer. Get 10% off Hair Story's New Wash by visiting hairstory.com/Jana and by using the promo code Jana. So, Leslie.
Jana.
I have a question. I'm like, I have a question. Actually, we were talking about this too with your husband, about making sure that our kids should they see conflict?
Yes.
Because we had our friend Nick on our last podcast, and he was saying that in his family, he never saw conflict. So then when his marriage started to have conflict, it was like, oh my God, this is bad. I have to leave and run.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what's the line?
Right. And there is a caveat, because kids want to see that you get to the resolve. They want to see you working mm-hmm. together. It's not that you have intense feelings. It does matter if you're saying damaging things. That's never okay, because it's abusive. But if you're in kind of a heated, passionate discussion because you have a disagreement, but you keep working at it and you get to a resolve, they get to see how that works and that they're still safe and they're still okay. And mom and dad can really work out something and they can get to resolve. They can also see your investment and your emotionality, and that gives permission for feelings, that it's okay to have strong feelings or any feelings. When things are hidden, it leaves kids not only in the dark, but they can be confused about what is reality in their home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't want violence ever, right? Because that's scary and traumatic. Yes. But to be able to speak passionately because you happen to be in a person with opinions, mm-hmm. and it might differ at sometimes from your partner, and then your kids can see you problem solving and working it out. Is it their favorite thing? It might be a little unnerving, but when they see you get to a conclusion and everybody's still happy, then they're like, oh, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important. Yes. What do you think? Do you share that?
I don't know that we've ever answered that.
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think you have to have some practicality around frequency and how loud it gets. But I think if it's in front of them, if they do see a resolution that's meaningful, you're not hiding it from them. I think you can, depending on their ages too, you can always have conversations later and say, you know, Mom, Dad, we argue sometimes, but we love each other, and I don't want you to be scared if we do. And so you can, certainly not at 3 years old probably, and in the womb, but at some point you can. So most people grow up, it's so often that we hear in our practice that, yeah, my parents divorced when I was 13 and I didn't even know anything was wrong. You know,
right.
So people
That's
hide it.
So common.
And then the whole family system is based in secrecy and kind of lies. And
But then here's the other problem is my parents got divorced when I was 13, 14, and I saw everything. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, I knew a lot of things were wrong, you know, so it was almost like too much was shown.
Yeah.
Do you two argue in front of Jolie?
So I hate it more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have, I'm not going to lie, we've had when she was younger, especially because we were going through everything, every time I'd go in the room and cry because I'm like, God, I don't want her to feel that energy.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a really good job, but there are still times when voices will get raised and we just need to get better with that.
Right. But I think like Doug and Leslie are saying though, I think as of recently, within the last 6 to 8 months, mm-hmm. any argument we've had in front of her hasn't been hurt things being said, hasn't been, you know, any violence or over the top anger or name calling or any kind of, you know, anything like that. It's been more of just, maybe our voices get raised, which still, I think at that young age, maybe you don't want to do. I don't know. You know,
the problem is like, I get triggered from his loud voice because my dad was loud and scary. So I get scared for Jolie's sake.
Hmm.
Does she react?
She did that one day, and that made me really sad. I told you, I was like, we cannot do that.
Mm.
But I think she looks like, you know, she has that look in her eye like, oh, God, they're either, you know. And it's scary because I think that's my childhood wound, too, is seeing a dad upset and angry and I get scared. And I don't want her to feel that.
For sure.
Intensity.
I mean, yeah, and I guess especially at this age, but I think, again, as she gets older, she's going to see some of that. She's going to see us raise our voices. She's going to see us get angry, you know, and it's just, I just being conscious of it. I mean, obviously there's just going to be a fine line that you got to flirt with, you know, is this healthy for them to be around, or is this something that, which we're not good at tabling it, handling it tonight when the kids are down. But I think that's just something that we have to be conscious of.
Well, do you think it depends on what the argument is about too?
Yeah, probably don't need to be exposed to fighting about your sex life necessarily,
right,
or something that's beyond their developmental
right.
level. But you were saying a really important thing, Jenna, which is beautiful, which is that you're in the sorting. So like you're aware that when he gets his voice loud, that it triggers your history. And you remember that you didn't like that as a child and you want to protect Jolie for that. But all of that is like awareness, beautiful awareness, because that's the work in progress, which is then you go, you know, is he really my dad? No, he's not. It just feels the same, but he's such a genuine, heartfelt guy. That's not my dad. And will it really impact her in the same way? So to be able to sort yourself out from her experience, because it's so easy for us as parents to like project our experience on our kid and think, oh my gosh, it's happening to them just like it happened to me. And it's like, was it really the same thing? But being able to sort that out is really the work of relationship.
But he doesn't think his voice gets loud. So I'm very sensitive to voices. And to, he's like, I'm not mad. I'm like, but that tone is very angry, you know? So
it's animated.
And we've had something similar, because you want to talk about what that's the thing we have that going on.
Yeah, so I'm the kind of, I've been in leadership for a number of years. I'm the kind of person that can debate for hours and I just get more energized, more alive,
right,
and I think more clearly, you know. And we found out over time that the more that I did that, the more it was actually intimidating her. I've got this strong woman and she'd cry, and I thought, well, women cry, you know, and I didn't realize, you know, partly it was me. So I started calling it getting in the ring, like I'm getting in the ring ready to box. And it's been really, really helpful for me to realize I can't get in the ring. I've got to have some other way to share my frustrations or my anger or my hurt without some big debate where I roll over her, because she probably felt it as abusive, and I didn't even know anything was happening like that.
Well, and he just has a way of saying things that are so, like, because he has strong opinions, and so do I, so I'm not going to blame him for that, but he would say things so definitively. Like, he just had the answer, and he would say it like this, and da-da-da, and I'm like, did I get considered?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Did you loop me in? And he didn't realize, because he thinks we're in, like, a collaborative thing there, but he's so dogmatic that I'm like, I don't feel like I was even looped in. So it's kind of funny sometimes he'll, like, go... I could just see him doing it. He'll, like, go, so what do you think about? And I'm like, okay. You know, like, that's his attempt to, like, join.
Right.
Because he just wants to be able to speak his mind and say his mind, but he hasn't lost connection with me in that.
Right.
I just feel sort of like, yeah.
I think too, for Jana, if I may speak for you as well, honey.
Sure, darling.
Just knowing you as well as I do. You know, the layer of it with Jolie is Jana's childhood and the projection of the father and the relationship. I think also there's another layer of her being triggered with early on in our relationship, where I had issues with anger management. I was in the midst of doing things that I was doing, acting out or whatever, and had a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, and just living this other life that just continued to put pressure and anxiety and guilt and all that crap on top of me. So I was a lot more volatile in my arguing and my, you know, there was no real communicating with me. I can see that now. Then I would be so definitive like Doug, but almost in a narcissistic way, where I would unfortunately make Jana feel crazy for like thinking or feeling the way she was feeling. And looking back on that now, it makes me really sad to think that she ever had to feel that way around me. But I know, I understand that that's probably another layer for her around us arguing and my voice being elevated at all, because it used to get really, really, really bad. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. Remember when you locked me out of the house?
Wait, can we hear that story?
We were just in an argument, and I just remember being like, am I crazy? But again, like, that's just speaking on his, he would just make me feel crazy. Yeah.
We can laugh about it now.
Yeah, we can. I was like, how am I the one being locked out of the house right now? Like, why are you making me
feel crazy? See, guys, it doesn't always have to be us that gets locked out.
When did you get back in?
I mean, I don't even remember how, but it's just...
I ended up opening the door.
Yeah, oh, that was, you know, a few months before Discovery and everything. So everything started to make sense. But yes, that does, from that anger and that issues, that does make me then go trigger to, is he acting out? It brings up things.
Which is unfortunate for both parties, because I understand her trigger behind that is like, if I get defensive or start to raise my voice at all. Yeah, like last night.
We were having just a small issue. I was like, why are you getting so defensive? I'm getting triggered now because you're so defensive, and this is making me think that you're hiding something from me.
Right.
And it's like, he's like, I'm actually not, but
I'm just trying to help. And it's just so this whole conflict where it's like, it sucks, because I understand why she feels that way. But at the same time, I feel like I should still be at liberty to have my feelings and express them. And it's not always going to be butterflies and rainbows with how it comes out. Like, I'm going to be pissed off some days, and it's going to happen. But it's unfortunate that she has to feel triggered around that.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, you know, you don't want to take away his manhood, right? I mean, I'm sure you love his strength, but it's also threatening sometimes if it gets too angry. But if he was always just, you know, perfectly soft and tender and vulnerable, I can tell you right now what's going to happen to your sex life. You know, because you want that passionate man that you're with.
No, absolutely. Real fast before we circle, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, once again, not to beat it to death, but I think any way we interact that fractures the bond, we have to begin to think about that. Yeah. Does it put a ding in it? Does it pull us apart a little bit in how we're expressing hurt and how we're expressing emotions? So it's important to be able to have that. And the other thing I would say, too, is that sort of the converse of all of this is if you think of not wanting to have a conflict, not wanting to have this happen, what do you want to happen? What do you want to sound like to each other? What do you want to fill your home up with? Mm-hmm. Is it joy? Is it peace? Is it mutual affirmation? What are you shooting for? Because we can try to stop anything from happening. We can try to stop arguments, but it doesn't solve it if we don't move in some direction. So, okay, then what do we want?
Yeah.
What's the replacement for that?
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's really great.
Yeah, because if we don't have a vision of what we want, we're always just fighting off the problems and what we're trying to fix instead of moving towards we want a culture in our home that is just filled with positive energy and we're like engaged and alive and it's enthusiastic and we're personal and it's intimate and we talk about all things. Mm-hmm. And then you have that as kind of your frame of like, but this is what we're shooting for and this is how we're trying to live. And so sometimes when that other stuff comes up, you're like, oh yeah, that's that stuff, but and we'll solve it, but then we're going to go back to all our goodness that we love. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, this is good.
It was.
This was some really good stuff.
I just soaked it all in. I'm digesting it stuff.
Where can our listeners find you?
Oh, everywhere on social media, Instagram, Leslie Gustafson everywhere. Our website is authenticandtrue.com. We have a really great Alive Facebook group that's private right now, about 1,000 people just in there telling all their stuff and getting support from each other. It's amazing. And I just monitor it for kind of safety and direction. So that's cool. And of course, you know about the box, but... Oh, the amazing intimacy tribe. Everything is amazing intimacy.
I love it. You guys make sure to get the intimacy box because it definitely can be really helpful and fun for partners out there. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Leslie, Doug, thank you guys.
Thank you.
We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Okay, so I was at my girlfriend's house, like a week or so ago, and I was minding my own business, but she was talking to her husband. She goes, oh my God, she's like, I'm going to have to spend the next 50 million hours going through 2,000 photos and putting them all together on a drive. And I go, no, you don't. Legacy box.
Send them in.
I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, this is what it's for. And I was like, Jen, if you use promo code, and I started to go off about it. And she saved $400.
Yep.
Whoa. With the code.
That's amazing.
I know. So, and she put all of her, let me tell you, this Legacy Box is the perfect place to take all of your old home videos, your photos, your tapes, and you can digitize them onto a thumb drive, a download, or a DVD. So it's so great because she was going to have to spend all this time scanning every single picture.
Can you imagine?
Onto the computer.
No.
And I was so excited and proud to have to do this next spot because it's something that people need.
I am so disappointed because we had about 35 or 40 photo albums with all of my baby pictures.
Oh, my goodness.
Showing horses for 15 years.
Yeah.
Everything. And there was a water, pipe break in the garage. And we lost all of them. So I have not one. I may have one baby picture that was at somebody else's house.
Oh.
My whole childhood was erased.
I'm so sorry.
So listen, do it. Don't wait.
That hurts my heart to hear.
I know.
Awful.
I know. So just if I would have had this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do this for Rocco.
Yeah.
Even though everything's on digital, I still printed photos out and I have video and everything just needs to be in one place.
Totally. Well, Legacy Box will send you a pre-labeled box and all you have to do is fill it with all of your old family memoirs and then send it right back. Go to legacybox.com/Jana to get 40% off your first order or save up to $200 on your largest Legacy Box kit. So she saved $400 by using the code Jana to get 40% off. So go to legacybox.com/Jana and save 40% off today. Get started preserving your past and don't let it get washed away.
You know what's funny too is we were at it was our friend's house that we're staying at when we were in Nashville. And so Jana was there like a week before me, and then Julie and I got there for a few days, and I was walking through their office at their house, and I saw the Legacy Box on the floor. I was like, oh, honey,
Legacy
they got
box.
A Legacy Box. And she's like, yeah, I told them.
I know, because it was all me. I told them about it, because it's just, you know, we do these spots, and, you know, yes, we love HelloFresh and Grove and, everything that we do on here, but when it's something that, you know, we really can, it can help a family. And I don't know, it's so special.
I know, I have no hashtag Throwback Thursday pictures. Luckily, Rocco looks exactly like me.
Yeah.
So,
perfect.
Know, I can be like, oh no, that's me.
I love that. Hey, honey, did you do the couples challenge last week about getting me a gift?
Oh my God. I actually, you know what's funny? Was it yesterday or the day before? I was thinking about it. I was like, oh man, I need to go to Soto or something on Ventura and go get you a little something. And then,
well, I forgot too, so I feel bad.
We suck.
We suck at our own challenges.
I did it.
You did?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I just ordered food and had it delivered without him knowing.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good one.
Did I not do anything for you?
Nothing.
Man. Well, we were busy traveling.
It was a crazy busy week.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Nashville
busy.
To Virginia, back to LA.
Okay, so we have to double up then. So we have to this week we'll have to double up. We need to do last week's challenge because we can't be telling people to do things and then we're not even doing it.
What's the challenge this week?
I want something.
You better get to Soto.
I want a little gift.
All right.
I'm kidding. No. So what should be our couple's challenge this week? Oh, you know what? Initiate with your partner.
Ooh, that's good.
In the bedroom.
So much pressure.
Oh my God.
It is a lot of pressure.
I just got anxiety.
I know, but it doesn't have to be, like Leslie said, it doesn't have to be the touchdown.
Okay.
Kiss your partner. You can just, that one day in bed when you just kissed me, I was like, I love that. That's all I needed in that moment.
Yeah. Or even like when we're at Matt and Jen's and I just wanted to kiss you, and then it led into something else.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, actually, I'm turned on. And then I'm like, well, I'm tired.
But sorry, Matt and Jen.
Yeah. Sorry, Matt and Jen, we soiled your sheets. No, but I think it doesn't have to be the touchdown. I'm not saying, you know, Catherine, you know, I love you, girl. You just give him a kiss. One little kiss.
All right.
You know?
All right, so we have to do a little gift and then initiate. But okay, that's such a one-sided thing. What's your side of it?
I'm going to give you a gift and initiate.
Okay.
Maybe when you're watching football, I'll throw you a pass, buddy.
Don't come barking up this tree on Sunday. You'll get a stiff arm real quick.
I'll catch you at halftime then. Hey, so I want to talk about Grove Collaborative. So like I said, one of the things that I love about doing these spots are because we actually use Grove too. It's really convenient. And with having a new baby, you can get everything you want in a box. And they're it's clean and healthy stuff, household products for your home. So we never run out of toilet paper because they send it to us. They have everything from Meijer's cleaning supplies, Burt's Bees chlorine-free wipes, to Baby Gannick sunscreen lotions, and they make sure all of the products are free from animal testing. So it's easier, it's cheaper when you shop at Grove, and it's great too because I get auto-scheduled shipments right to my door. So it's so, so, so nice, and it's natural, chemical-free products that are good for the baby and Jolie. For a limited time, listeners who sign up get an amazing free 30-day supply of Seedling, Grove's tree-free paper towels, toilet paper, and tissues, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift just for you when you sign up and place an order of $20 or more. And the gift's really cute. So check out Grove and our special offer at grove.co/Jana. That's grove.co.com/Jana.
Honey, you know, I'm excited because we have our 23andMe kit.
Oh, I know.
Sitting right in front of us. And just to remind you guys, 23andMe, okay, they have a new podcast called Spit on iHeartRadio. And what it is the 23andMe is actually named after the 23 pairs of chromosomes in your DNA. Their service provides you with over 75 genetic reports about your health, like lactose intolerance and sleep movement, traits, your eye color and hair color. And all you have to do is spit into the tube provided and mail it back to the lab.
I can't wait for you guys to do this.
I'm going to do it the second I get home.
It is so fun to open the email and click on results, and you're just blown away. So and then you start getting emails like, you know, oh, your second cousin, oh, your third cousin, another family relative, another.
Really?
It's really fun.
Well, isn't that what they talk about in the spit?
Yes,
they
do a deep dive.
Everyone is genetically alike.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I came back exactly what I knew I was, but It's still fun.
But yeah, so Jan and I are super, super excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so join us, subscribe to the Spit podcast, learn more about the DNA found in our spit, understand who we really are genetically and how we are connected to the world around us. Listen to full episodes now on iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Remember we were going to talk about voting?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
Okay.
I'm not ready to go.
Do you guys go in or do you send it in? Because I already voted.
Well, we need to talk about that in another podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's another subject for another time.
This is the last one before the midterms.
Yeah.
Midterms.
Like I said,
see,
there's something that I need to disclose that we need to disclose, but we need, we're waiting to get someone on the show to help
us. Never voted.
I'm not saying never.
Okay.
I'm just saying we need to talk about it. It needs to be a bigger scale because I will get backlash.
Oh, no, I have a stomachache already.
We will get backlash.
We will get backlash, but at the same time, I think a lot of people need to hear our perspective and then they can learn too from it.
Do you think we need to get an expert on disclosing information in a safe way? Or
what kind of an expert do you need?
I'm trying to get Sophia Bush on the show because she's very political.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get someone in politics on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So I want a left and I want a right.
Right, but you're going to miss the midterms, and so there's going to be nobody available to do this.
Right,
I understand that, but there's still going to be voting possibilities.
But we don't need an actual politician. We just need someone to talk about maybe, you know, the importance of voting. I mean, everyone says voting is important. My thing.
Oh my God, are we talking about it?
Well, let me just say,
did you vote?
No.
Okay.
Let me just tell you my whole theory, because my grandfather gets on me that I don't vote, and I haven't voted for years, is I'm not big into politics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not. It doesn't interest me. I know I should be. I'm not saying it's okay not to be, but I would rather not vote than make an uneducated decision. Does that make sense? But now what?
Jen just looked at you like she wanted to stab you.
It's like she's gonna take out her earrings like for like a back alley brawl right now. Jen's like, let me talk to you out back.
I can't breathe.
It's my fault for not educating myself, but it's just I don't know.
Or like I said, I think this needs to be a bigger discussion.
Mm-hmm. Huge discussion.
Because what I have to say would totally rally you up, and I just think we need someone that.
So you want security here to keep Jen away?
It's kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I also want to, you know, we inform where I want to be informed too, and I want to inform listeners out there that feel the same way that I feel about voting.
So Tuesday are the midterms. Governor of California, among many states, have their governor being decided.
Right.
Many Congress people in the Senate and the House of Representatives and lots of propositions that definitely affect your life are all being decided on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So
just FYI.
Right. But how much?
Talk to me on Wednesday.
Which will affect everyone in the next 2 years.
For example,
as well.
Prop 7 wants to get rid of daylight saving time in California.
Right.
Okay.
Nope, no strong opinion there?
Okay. Wait, no, I'm not saying we don't have a strong opinion. I don't think my vote counts.
Mm.
Mm.
That's a heavy statement.
I don't think it does.
That is it. See that?
I don't think it counts. I think if we got rid of the electoral votes, I would think it maybe would count more. Then I would maybe be more inclined.
So, but you're specifically speaking of presidential elections there.
Yes. So that's the thing. I don't know.
Oh, the electoral votes are only for president.
Right.
And all of the state votes en masse. So whoever gets the most votes gets all the state's electoral votes.
We urge you to go vote for our governor.
But here's the thing. I want to be more informed.
You've got a few days.
I think maybe we write off midterms and focus on 2020.
I think so too. I think you're right.
Probably gonna. Okay, but that's my whole thing. Like, I'm not informed, so I'm not gonna go. Would you still rather me just go vote for
when he doesn't even
when I haven't paid attention to what's going on in California?
No, but I think that you can have a really educated conversation with a few different people that you know from both sides. To
well, that's
understand
what I wanted to do on the show, but we're missing our chance.
Fully, and well, I think Mark was right. We need to focus on 2020.
Yeah. Also, there are nonpartisan websites that can ask you questions and say this is probably who you should be voting for, specifically for president.
You can
but
take
that's
a
very
quiz.
Helpful as well.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? What do you think of this? Well, that you're 89% with this candidate, and you know whatever.
Yeah. See, but that's my thing too is. I remember taking something like that back in like high school, early college or something. But there might be, okay, this is who you should probably vote for. But there might be a topic that person supports that I'm just strongly against.
That's true, yeah.
That's okay then. Then you find a different candidate.
But what if the other candidate too? So like didn't Hillary see this thing? I just don't even
have to
go.
Choose
I
the best.
I can't right now.
Right, and then there's the third party voting and whether or not that's worth a valuable.
I just feel like
and then
like
the third party never wins.
Third party doesn't win.
So then your vote really doesn't matter because. But then someone says, "Well, if everyone votes for the third party, then they're gonna."
Well, bottom line, you take your own interests out of the equation and you think about the best person to run the country and who is going to take care of the people. And globally, on a global aspect, you want somebody who can interact with leaders of other countries in a positive way. So I think
like
if you take your own interests out of the equation, you can sort of pick a candidate. Even if they don't believe in everything you believe in, or if there's one thing that you're completely against, you just think globally. And I think you can make a really great educated decision that way.
All right. Well, in 2020, we're going to need to have a conversation then again about this.
But it's just unfortunate that this last presidential election felt like picking the lesser of two evils.
I agree.
People say that a lot. Hopefully, hopefully there'll be a candidate in 2020 you can feel passionate about.
Right.
We don't know that Trump is
that.
Running again necessarily.
Right. Because it is fun when you feel really passionate about a candidate.
Yes.
And I truly haven't felt because last year I was like, I think personally, you get backlash for saying who you like. I didn't any of them. Mm-hmm. So that's just sorry. That's just but again, there was things I didn't like about each. There's things I liked and didn't like.
You know, might have turned me off from politics is maybe my family, like my dad's side of the family, are all very outspoken when it comes to politics.
That'll do it.
There were many of family dinners that's just, I'm a kid, and they start talking about politics, and aunts and uncles and grandparents and parents are going back and forth. I'm like, come on, man. Like, why can't we just talk about something else?
Right.
You know,
as
a kid, you just remove yourself. Yes. So it's not to blame anybody, but that's the environment. I was just like, you know what? I don't care.
And that environment is worse than ever before.
I don't care about this.
Mm-hmm. It is.
If this is how I'm going to react about it, I don't care right now. And so now that I'm becoming.
But then someone would say, well, shouldn't you care about your country and our rights and our blah, blah, blahs?
Yeah, I pay my taxes.
Right, but you also need to figure out what is the most important thing to you, because everybody's got that, whether it's gun control or it's immigration or it's taxes or it's gay rights, whatever it is. Everybody's got something they're really passionate about. And that's kind of the way I look at it, is who's going to support the stuff
that
I'm really into.
What are you most passionate about?
My sister's gay, and so I've always really been into gay rights, and that's always been a very, very important thing to me.
What are you most passionate about?
Gay rights, gun control.
But so here's the thing about gun control. I have a gun. Are you mad that I have a gun?
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad that, you know, people who shouldn't have guns are able to get them.
You still think people should have guns. They should be allowed to have guns, but a bit more checks, that kind of...
I think,
because I can agree with that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think the kind of weapon that people are allowed to...
Agreed.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with. But then again, what about the people that, again, I'm just playing devil's advocate for both sides. Mm-hmm. The other person that's, I like this as a sport. I do this for fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't have mental issues I agree that why do you need this big rifle, gun, whatever it is? But if that's their person's hobby, they like to collect, or it's, I don't know.
I don't know. As soon as, you know, when we were children, we didn't have any issues with school shootings. We have a serious issue now.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I mean, yeah.
And
I'm terrified.
At least once or twice a week, it's on my mind. Mm-hmm. When I know Rocco's in school out there playing, you know, recess, he's been on lockdown a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
One was due to somebody in the neighborhood who had a gun, who was out on the street. You know, it's terrifying.
Right. And there is no probably easy solution.
There's
for that.
Not. But, there's not.
But nothing is not a good option either.
Right.
And that seems to be what we've done so far.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
What do you think, before we hop on this phone call, what would you be most passionate about? Is it about, you know, choice? Is it guns? Is it gays?
I don't know if I have one blaring thing. I think it's a little bit of all of it, but that's the thing. I don't know if I have one thing. I mean, I believe in gun control, but I believe in the right to bear arms in our Constitution. I believe that, you know, everyone should be treated equal.
So when you're voting in one person's and you believe kind of both things, then how do you do that?
Well, hopefully at some point you become so passionate about something or a candidate that you get to experience what it feels like when that candidate wins, because it feels like you've won the Super Bowl.
Wow. Well, I hope so. 2020, let's get informed. Since we've missed the boat with this one.
We're going to campaign for Mike and Jana to get informed.
We need you in 2020.
Hey, so I was just on The Doctors recently, and I really am excited because Dr. Sonia Batra. Sonia?
Hi, I'm here.
Hey, so you got the Wind Down crew.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Hi, everyone. How's it going?
We're doing good. We were just talking about voting. So, you know, a real popular subject.
Well, yeah. I hope everybody and anybody listening to this gets out and votes. It's so important.
I know. Yes. So I was just telling them that I did. I was on The Doctors, and I had a chance to sit down with you guys.
You were great. Yes.
Oh, thank
you for coming on. And we really appreciated it. And I hope that our viewers, you really raised awareness and just opened up some doors for people to feel comfortable sharing what they've been through and talking about it.
Yeah. And for those of you that didn't watch it, we were talking about miscarriages, and we had an IVF doctor on the show as well, and just kind of talking about the challenges. And so definitely try to see if you guys can watch that episode on The Doctors. But Michael, you were reading her background and you're like, she's a genius.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Harvard Medical School, Oxford, Rhodes Scholar. I mean,
thank you.
You got it all. I was very impressed by just reading, you know, your resume here. But so I was like, man, I'm kind of nervous to talk to her now.
Oh, come on. No, I'm happy to talk with you guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Do you feel like what do you think like your absolute specialty is?
Oh, well, I'm a skin cancer specialist. So my training in medicine is a dermatologist, and then I did a fellowship in skin cancer procedures. So that's my niche.
So does it make you itch when I say that I don't wear sunscreen?
Yes. Definitely. It's like nails on a chalkboard for me when people tell me that, especially you're here in Southern California. And how are you feeling, by the way, with the hormones of pregnancy?
Well, I've been crying a little bit more recently, but yeah. We have a week or two left. So
oh my gosh! Congratulations!
Thank you.
I mean, figured because we're due in November.
Yeah,
so this is the home stretch.
It's really any day now. But yeah, you know, I have a hard time with that because. So, speaking of sun care for my sun lotion for my daughter, one of the doctors said that it's actually good for them to get an hour of sun without sunscreen lotion on. Is that true?
I would say an hour cumulatively in a week is true.
In a week. Okay,
so usually, while it is really important to have adequate vitamin D levels, and no dermatologist or physician is going to tell you otherwise, it's more like here in Southern California, you're going to get 10 to 15 minutes of daily exposure. That's going to be more than enough to adequately synthesize what you need. An hour is to the point that she's going to turn pink or red and she's very likely to burn. That's going to be where she's accruing damage that'll put her at risk for problems later in life, especially skin cancer.
So what causes low vitamin D? Because mm-hmm. I feel like I was tested once and my vitamin D was low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we know vitamin D, everybody knows that it's involved with calcium and mm-hmm. your bones, but we also know that it's a really important regulator of our immune system and cell mm-hmm. growth. And so it's actually been shown to be very protective against certain types of cancers. So the reason some people we think are low is because we're not synthesizing enough, certainly from sunlight, just because we're all indoors and we're not necessarily getting the exposure we do otherwise. And then dietary sources. So the sources of vitamin D that are food-based are like fatty fish, like mackerel, things like egg yolks. So people don't necessarily eat that as much these days. And then fortified foods with vitamin D, like milk, certainly are good sources of it as well.
This all makes sense since I'm like 90% vegan.
Yeah. So that's probably why your level was low. But the flip side is that we know if you're out in the sun to the point that you turn pink, you're getting the type of damage that leads to cellular change, so it leads to skin cancer down the line. So for your daughter, an hour a day, she's two, right? Is quite a lot.
She'll be three in January.
Yeah. So that's a lot of ultraviolet. And we do think that the sunburns she gets, specifically the number of blistering sunburns she gets before she's 18, is directly proportional to her lifetime skin cancer risk.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Well, she's never gotten sunburn yet.
Good.
I mean, ever. And if we're in the sun for a long time, but when she just goes out to play for 30 minutes or she's in school, I mean,
there's enough shady places that we're playing that it's not direct sunlight for that amount of time.
Yeah.
I would say if you keep an eye on her and she's not turning pink in the sun, that you don't see her coming back with like this pinkish shade to her skin, mm-hmm. then she's probably not accruing to damage. And it's fine with her. You know, then I have two kids. I'm out sitting at their sports games. I get it.
Right.
It's that's what kids should do, and they should enjoy the outdoors. It's just really kind of keeping them protected so they're not burning.
And I was just going to ask you, Sonia, you know, like you said, you're a mother of two kids. What do you do, knowing what you know and practicing, you know, in the medical field that you do, what do you do that maybe most parents, like the common mistake that maybe most parents might make that you make sure that you don't do?
I think it's that many parents don't think sunscreen is important year round. And so I, even here in Southern California where it's sunny all the time, people just think, oh, it's colder, it's the winter, I don't need the sunscreen. But in sunny climates like this, and even in cold climates, because remember, 80% of ultraviolet penetrates through clouds, it reflects off of snow. So even if you're somewhere when it's one of those bright, beautiful, but cold, snowy days, you are getting a lot of ultraviolet damage. So I think the one thing I do is that, much to my kids' frustration, I'll put sunscreen on them, rain or shine. And, you know, every day, year round, it's just they brush their teeth in the morning, and then now they're 9 and 11, they're old enough to put it on themselves, but I'll still attack them if they haven't, and I'll still rub it all over their faces.
I mean, I totally get that, but I think what stresses me out is, okay, now what kind of sunscreen do we have to put on? Because if we put the wrong sunscreen on, then they're going to get cancer because of the sunscreen.
Yeah, and that's true because there's more and more data about some of the chemical blocks, and you probably saw and read that in Hawaii, certain chemicals are now banned because they're killing the coral reef, the chemicals in sunscreen, specifically octinoxate and oxybenzone. But what I have always recommended, and I certainly recommend for kids, is the mineral block broad spectrum sunscreen. So those are things with micronized zinc oxide or micronized titanium dioxide and an SPF 30. And those are safe on adults, they're safe on kids, and they physically just sit on top of your skin and shield and deflect ultraviolet.
Can you give me do you have any brands that are, that you know that are good?
You know, any brand, just look at the active ingredients on the back of the tube, and it should have a section at the very top of the bottle that says active ingredients. And if it says zinc oxide and or titanium dioxide and it doesn't say anything else, that's what you're looking for. So every common brand in the supermarket or drugstore should have a line that has that.
So we were driving down the street yesterday, and I stopped at a red light, and I looked over, and it was like $79 a month. Canyon membership. And it made me think that I was like, I can't believe we still have these tanning beds in strip malls.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? Or is it okay to go once or twice a week?
So the short answer is no, it's not okay to go once or twice a week. In fact, we know that the biggest risk factor for your first skin cancer at a younger age, meaning before the age of 40, is ever having used a tanning bed.
Oh, great.
There's no such thing as quote-unquote safe UV tanning beds because what they're doing is, if you think about it in a very concentrated way, they're delivering that ultraviolet that turns your color, but you're also accruing damage. And so you're right. I mean, tanning beds are regulated in a number of states, just like tobacco, basically, where you can't go in under the age of 18 and you should get parental consent. We know it's a carcinogen. It's just so wildly popular, and there's still this kind of misconception among many people that tan is healthy and, you know, that you look better when tan, which I think a lot of people feel that way, but it's totally acceptable to do a spray tan. It's so much safer.
Right.
But again, what they're spraying on us, the kind of chemicals they're spraying.
And then your sheets turn brown.
Yeah. But
the way those chemicals work, you're right. And they are chemicals. And, you know, my bias, of course, as a dermatologist is why is tan so chic? But I think that there are going to be situations in red carpets and things where people want to look a little bit more glowy. And the self-tanners and the spray tans, though they are chemical, I completely agree, are at least much safer than the ultraviolet light sources. So in the relative risk scheme, those have not been shown to be carcinogenic, whereas we know that the ultraviolet in tanning beds is carcinogenic. So to me, it seems like a really reasonable trade-off.
Sonia, have you ever heard of Hell's Itch?
Tell me.
I don't know what the medical term is. So basically this summer, Jana and I, we went to the beach in Santa Monica. We brought our daughter. We lathered her up with sunscreen.
Okay.
Jana didn't wear any, per usual.
Okay.
And I'll usually
don't tell me that.
I've never gotten burned before.
Actually, what I was starting to say, and it made me think of your pregnancy, is that remember the hormones of pregnancy make you much more prone to discoloration. There's a hormone in pregnancy called melanocyte-stimulating hormone that's appropriately really high, but that's what gives women a lot of discoloration and melasma.
Yeah, I have that on my mouth right now. I look like I have a beard.
Yeah.
On my lip.
I will defend her. On this particular day, she was, because she wasn't feeling well pregnant, she was laying under the umbrella on a blanket the entire time.
Okay.
While I was out with our daughter for 3 hours exposed to the sun with no break.
And I lathered him on his front.
Okay.
Didn't I put your sunscreen lotion on your front?
Yeah, back. I think you did my front because we went the weekend before and I was a little burned on my front, so I had her lather my front. I didn't do my back or my head, and I'm bald.
Okay.
And big mistake. Basically, that night, it was the next day.
He comes home. I swear to you, Sonia, he comes home like he's a wolf is trying to come out of his body.
I was trying to turn into a werewolf. I could not move. Jana was dumping ice on my back.
I believe it.
On our bed. I wanted to crawl out of my skin. It felt like I had fire ants under my skin. And it lasted. I was at work that day. It was starting there when I was at work. I came home. It got even worse. And it was one of those things. She had to lock me in the room so Joel, our daughter, didn't see me like that, because I was literally losing my mind.
Yeah. And but then you looked it up and it said hell's itch.
I just saw like quote unquote hell's itch. I don't know what the medical term. I don't know if you've heard of that before or dealt with that.
Yeah, I mean, it basically, you were probably also bright red and really swollen too, in addition to being itchy. I'm so sorry that happened to you. But it's true that really damaging and injuring the skin like that from just a really severe acute sun exposure often will release a lot of the inflammatory chemicals in your skin too, specifically histamine and other, they're called cytokines because dermatologists love jargon, but you were probably having a really inflamed, itchy, uncomfortable response just to the injury.
Oh my God, it sounds awful.
It was the worst day of my life.
It can be.
He was in the bathroom going, ah! Call that sun
lousy. Yeah, no, I'm so sorry that happened, but at least I'm glad you're sharing your story with people so that they kind of remember.
I will never forget to put on sunscreen ever again after that feeling.
So 30 and above.
SPF 30. Yeah. So remember, an SPF 30 is only talking about how much UVB it blocks, which is one part of the spectrum, but that's still a 97% UVB block, so it's pretty good. You do want to also look for something that's this broad spectrum on it, because that means it blocks UVA also.
Sonia, too, with you being in dermatology, do you deal with, I know you specialize kind of in the skin cancer world, do you deal with breakouts on skin and stuff like that? Just, I ask because I have fairly sensitive skin and maybe on my back or shoulders, I'm tentative to put oils or lotions on there because actually the sun will help kind of clear my skin up at times, especially in the summer, or I'm working out a lot or sweating or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so is that something where certain lotions are better for more sensitive skin? I'm very wary about that.
Yeah, and so it's interesting because I certainly in the world of dermatology, I deal with breakouts, and people who are acne and breakout prone are often really hesitant to put anything on. Mm-hmm. But the flip side is that when you strip acne-prone skin, or it's really sensitive and you put something really harsh and irritating where you're trying to put an astringent or alcohol or something to dry it out, then oftentimes your skin is going to overcompensate because it's being stripped and irritated. So it's going to try to produce more oil, and it may even have kind of a completely counterproductive effect of making you overproduce oil, and then your pores get clogged and you break out. So acne-prone skin is actually really sensitive, and you don't want to overly irritate it or strip it. But what you do want to look for is lotions and oils that somewhere have been tested not to clog your pores. Mm-hmm. So the jargon on the label is going to say non-comedogenic or non-acnegenic. That means that they've actually at least assayed and tested it to see if it's likely to break you out. I tell people that try things. If you try something, and even if on the label it says non-pore clogging, but it makes you break out, don't use it.
Right.
And in general, scent-free, dye-free, really hypoallergenic things are a lot less likely to irritate you and worse than acne, too.
All right. I love that.
Thank
Sonia,
you.
Where can our listeners find you?
Oh, well, I practice here in Santa Monica in Southern California, and my website is www.batraskincare.com.
I love it. And you can watch her on The Doctors.
Yes. And Jana, yay, thank you again. No. I really do appreciate your coming on and sharing your story with your conception and your miscarriages. I mean, I just was so impressed and grateful that you were so honest and transparent with the people who follow you, because I think you're really opening the door for women who don't talk about miscarriage and they don't talk about fertility struggles and sort of suffer in silence, like I said that day. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And we appreciate you being on Wind Down.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. So today's show was full of information.
I feel like I need to go home and just digest everything.
We went from crying to laughing to... Yes.
To getting politics scolded by too. Jen and Mark for not being more into politics. I feel like mom and dad are mad at us.
I know.
And sorry.
We will get more informed, and we have a couple years to do that. So a huge thank you to all of our guests today on the show, and HelloFresh for a total of $60 off. That's $20 off your first three boxes. Visit HelloFresh.com/Kramer60 and enter Kramer60. Hair Story, get 10% off Hair Story's new wash by visiting hairstory.com/Jana and by using the promo code Jana. Go to legacybox.com/Jana to get 40% off your first order or save up to $200 on the largest Legacy Box kit. Get an amazing free 30-day supply of Seedling, Grove's tree-free paper towels, toilet paper, and tissues, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift just for you when you sign up and place an order of $20 or more. Grove.co/Jana. And then 23andMe, new podcast Spit. Listen to full episodes now on iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. You guys, thank you for an awesome show. And
don't forget to do your couple challenge.
Yes.
Two of them.
We have to do the couples challenge. Yep. To both of them. We have to do the gifts. And then this week's challenge was to just initiate with your partner. And I don't know if next time we're gonna have a baby or not. I don't know. So we'll see.
We're not going to have the baby yet.
We won't?
No.
Okay.
Maybe you'll go into labor while doing the podcast. And then we can do the next week, we can do a live podcast and it'll just all.
Okay. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
All right. See you guys next week. Woo!
Later.